Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Thursday at Hermitage Golf Course. The Pella Windows and Doors Golf Tournament going on. There's people rolling out for the, I would assume, 1 o'clock start.
You know, you can tell who the worst golfer is at things like this, because it's a fun golf tournament.
Yeah.
Whoever's dressed the best.
Is usually
and has
the
best equipment. Yeah. It has the worst. It's the guy. It's the John Daly who rolls up at 12:59.
Sig hanging out.
With his bag he just picked up from Dollar General. That's the guy.
So a buddy of mine on our baseball trip we went to, they had one of those at the one of the games. They had the auction table, like you do the silent auction,
yeah.
You know, and buy stuff. And he has a man cave and has stuff hanging in it. And there was this picture of John Daly.
Oh, yeah.
Like putting, cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Right?
And it actually had, I assume it was one of his, but it had the picture. He signed it in a framed cigarette as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
A Camel. And he, I was like, dude, you need this. He goes, oh, 100%.
Oh, that's very cool. Heck yeah, man.
And he's got it hanging on his wall.
We need to go down there to his restaurant down in Midtown. He's always there taking pictures. And
I'd
so
love to get him on the show.
He'd be great. Well, Dr. Crane would have to have his hand full-time on the dump button.
Well, maybe we tape the interview.
We had years ago, God bless him, he was so funny, may he rest in peace, Ralphie May on.
Oh, yeah.
And we
I remember this.
You're the one that came to us and said, I don't think we could air this because were so many F-bombs, nothing made sense.
Yeah, right.
And he just went, he probably had 500 F-bombs. It was funny because we had to tape it. It was like, we can't air this because there was no continuity to it at all. So. But, yeah, go down there and see John Daly. It'd be a lot of fun, and maybe we'll do that tonight.
All right, you have the hot seat, cool seat list.
All right, so this weekend, a lot of big games. I know it's only into the fourth week of the season, but some big games going on. One of the hot seat games this week is Arkansas-Memphis. Now, you might say, all right, it's Memphis, Arkansas. If Sam Pittman loses, he lost last week to Ole Miss. It's already bad enough, but if you lose to Memphis – and look, there's a lot of Arkansas fans in Memphis. There's a ton of them in Memphis. You lose, you're done. You lose to Memphis, non-SEC, and one of their biggest rivals, you're done.
I agree.
I think
they're going to lose to Memphis.
He's done.
I think Memphis beats him. It's at Memphis?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it might be in Arkansas.
Hang on.
I think
it's at the Liberty Bowl.
Man, I hope it is, because that's just down the road from Graceland. It's a couple miles away. Mid-South Coliseum.
It is at the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Oh, good job, Chaser. Oh, even worse.
And
they'll make Pittman walk back.
Arkansas is a 7.5-point favorite.
Tell you what, Memphis isn't half bad, man. But that's a game, like, for Sam Pittman. He's got to win that game.
Yep.
His fate might already be sealed anyway. All right, Gator Mike, I know you warned me about Billy Napier, but if they go down, all right, Florida takes on Miami this week down at Hard Rock Stadium. If they go down and get blown out, he's done. He might be done this weekend. I don't care how much money you pay him. You've already lost to South Florida. Now you've lost to Miami. You're going to keep him around to lose to Florida State?
Miami is a 7.5-point favorite. Here's what you got, Florida fans, after this weekend. You're at Miami, and then Texas.
Where's that game?
Gainesville.
Okay. They might win that game because Arch sucks. But
at Texas A&M.
Loss.
Mississippi State in Gainesville. Georgia in Jacksonville.
Mm-mm.
At Kentucky. At Ole Miss. Tennessee and Florida State.
God, Lord, man. Just ease his pain now. Show them out the door. But if you go down there, Gator Mike, and your Florida Gators can beat the Miami Hurricanes, you got some life left.
I don't think they're beating Miami. I think Miami beats the brakes off them.
If so, then he's done.
I mean, look, I don't like Carson Beck very much, but he's good.
Like you either. So can Napier, by winning, go from the hot seat to the cool seat?
Does a win over Miami go from the hot seat to the warm seat? It'll cool it off a little bit, but I don't think it saves him.
Okay. All right.
Now, look, if he beats Miami, he beats Miami and Tennessee, then, yeah, he probably saves it.
I think if he beats Miami, it's like, all right, let's see what he can do the rest of the way. But if they get torched by Miami, like 38-0, yeah, he's gone.
Or if they lose to Georgia, like 45-3, something like that.
Our next game is Oklahoma at Auburn. Before the season started, Brent Venables, and not a lot of people in Norman were happy with him. They've got up to a great start. They're ranked in the top 12, I think.
I actually think they're pretty good.
They're playing Auburn. And here's the funny. Isn't it the two quarterbacks who left both schools? And Oklahoma's quarterback from Auburn, Auburn's quarterback from Oklahoma. I know Auburn's quarterback is from Oklahoma. Is that how that is?
No, Mateer's from – where did John Mateer come from? Washington State. Who just said that?
There
Washington State.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
that's yeah, right.
So,
yeah. See.
So
yeah.
But Auburn's quarterback is a former Oklahoma.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I know part of that was correct. Where's that game being played?
Norman.
All right. So if Oklahoma can knock off Auburn, who's playing really well, Venables – it's like, all right, he's doing good. He got it going on. And I think right now, because the way Auburn started out, Hugh Freeze got off the hot seat a little bit to the cool seat. I don't think Auburn's got money to start firing coaches because they still owe a lot of money to Harsin and a few other people. But I think that game for Brent Venables, does Oklahoma play Texas in 2 weeks? Is that the Red River shootout? I think it is.
That is correct, sir. Next week they have Kent State and then Texas.
Okay. So, Brent Venables gets on the cool seat pretty good. And I don't think Freeze gets on the hot seat so much.
Hang on, yeah. Real quick. If you had to guess, what do you think the line is?
Oklahoma by seven.
Seven and a half.
Seven and a half. So got that old hook in there, man.
Yep.
Another game, not SEC, but Nebraska and Michigan. Now, Matt Rule's done a good job at Nebraska, kind of turning the narrative around.
Fine.
So, a big win over anytime you beat Michigan's a big deal. I don't care if they're 5-8 or whatever they are. So that's a good – Matt Rule's done a really good job at Nebraska from turning them from like we can't do anything to like, hey, we could do something here and have a shot at this. So that's a big game for Nebraska because you always want to beat Michigan. I grew up in the 80s, as most of you guys did, in the 90s with the Tommy Frazier's and how well they played. Nebraska was always in it every year, and since then they haven't been in it. So this is a big game for Nebraska and for Matt Rule.
Nebraska 3-0, and this game is in Lincoln.
Ooh,
Michigan is a 1.5-point favorite on the road, and they – am I correct in saying they will be without their coach, right?
Correct. One more game.
Yeah.
Nebraska fan, if you were out there, answer a question for me, because I was told that 70% of the seats in Lincoln – are outside the 20-yard line.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
So if they have 100,000, that means 70,000 are outside the – meaning the end zone and the upper decks, all those outside. And I find that – I've always found that fascinating that so many people are outside the 20-yard line looking down upon you. I'm just curious. If you're a Nebraska fan, please validate that for me because as much validation as I can get in my life, the better it is.
I think anything with Michigan, though, like – you don't do it until all the sanctions are taken care of, and then, you know. But they're ranked 21st right now.
Well,
so,
I think they're
2-1.
I think they're fine. I mean, Harbaugh left them in a mess big time, so I think Michigan will be fine. I mean, as long as they keep beating Ohio State, they're good. And that's the main thing. Beat Ohio State, you got no problem. But Sam Pittman and Billy Napier, this could be a big weekend for you guys because you could move. I think Pittman's still in the hot seat, but losing the Memphis and Liberty Bowl could be the one where you're like, hey, Sam, why don't you walk back to Fayetteville? We're good. I'm going to put you on a Greyhound. You ever been on a Greyhound?
No.
Your parents? God bless
Probably.
Your parents.
Yeah.
They never put young Chaser on a Greyhound.
They did not. No.
I had to ride a Greyhound one time from Nashville to Birmingham when I was young. And I don't remember I was going to Birmingham to see a family relative or somebody on a Greyhound. So I'd put Sam Pittman on the old Greyhound back to Fayetteville.
Yeah, I would say looking at just kind of the standings right now, you know, through 3 weeks, Napier's seat is probably the hottest. You agree?
I think
Pittman's maybe right there.
But who gets fired immediately? I think if you lose to Memphis, you could be gone.
I don't know. They've only lost one game. So, I don't know. That's a really good question. So they're two and one. I mean, Napier's 0-3. So I put him there.
How dare you discount the Long Island University win?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Dare you?
2-1.
Or
1-2.
1-2.
My bad.
I think if Miami goes down there and Florida's completely unprepared and beats them 38-7, I mean, his fate is sealed because they wanted to fire him after. And Dan or Mike, don't say you didn't, but that South Florida loss was crushing to a non-Power 4 team in your own state. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. So with Napier, that's going to be really tough for him. I mean, beating Miami cools that seat a little bit for Napier, but then if you could beat Miami, beat Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can always turn around. I just don't think – I'm not sure Pittman losing to Memphis could turn it around.
Yeah. Is Stoops – I mean, like, what's going to happen there?
I don't think anybody cares.
I don't think anybody cares.
It's Kentucky, right?
They've already lost to Ole Miss. They got South Carolina. They're off this week, I guess. They're off this week. Then they're at South Carolina. They're at Georgia. I would say both of those are losses. Texas, Tennessee, at Auburn, Florida, Tennessee Tech, at Vandy, at Louisville.
Tennessee Tech might beat them.
Yeah, they're not very good.
As a guy told me a long time ago, never go play football at a basketball school. It's like, okay. Not that I did. I'm just saying, just never go play football at a basketball school. They don't care if they go 2-10 or 10-2. But if Mark Pope goes 2-10.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, right?
Robert says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, 615-737-1025, a Greyhound bus ride is a must for a teen at least once. Definitely some characters.
Robert, you're wrong and you're right at the same time. I was like, oh, my God.
I just hear, like, somebody saying, son, this is going to make you a man.
But remember, when I wrote it, it was before cell phone. Now you can track, like, I can track my son 24 hours a day. Back then,
he loves that.
He doesn't know. That's one part of this. You don't know when you put your kid on a Greyhound back then whether or not they're going to show up in destination.
Right.
I think the ride from Nashville to Birmingham was like 6 hours. And I cannot remember why my mom put me on a Greyhound bus to Birmingham.
Why 6 hours? Because
you stop everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Murfreesboro, Tullahoma, Shelbyville, on down Mont Eagle, or not Mont Eagle, but Pulaski, then Ardmore.
Do you remember when the Simpsons go to New York to get the car and Bart goes, look, they have a Greyhound, $9 from here to New York. This one's on me. And Lisa's like, I just wish we had paid the extra $2 for a bus with bathrooms.
We'll read Robert's thing again because that sums it up perfectly.
Greyhound bus ride is a must for a teen at least once. Definitely some characters.
He is correct on that, man. Oh, my goodness.
Real quick, Evan says, as a huge Florida fan, I seriously wish that Florida had fired Napier at the end of last season. And now with two losses that they have, I wish that they would fire him immediately following the game.
Could happen. I mean, it really – if you're unprepared in Miami, if Miami pushes you up and down the field, you're done.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming here on the Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, the game. Hey, are you going to the Titans and Colts game on this Sunday? Then stop by John Bon Jovi's before you head over to the stadium and join 1025, the game, for the pregame with Big Joe, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders from 9:30 to 11:30. Pregame is presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook Kentucky, and by Tennessee Brew Works. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game at Hermitage Golf Course. On our Greyhound bus comment,
right.
Tim in Nashville. I made the mistake of buying a local ticket from Atlanta to Nashville my freshman year in college. I left in 1996 and just arrived back in Nashville last week.
Oh, my God. There's so much truth to that as well. Oh, man. Oh, that's wonderful.
29 years ago, he left.
He finally made it. Oh, it's like Jodie Foster in Contact. You made it back here. Good job. Yeah. So, I mean, imagine doing that without a phone to look and watch and read stuff. One time we had to do all that.
Our question of the day is, who's been the most influential in your life? And I don't have just one answer. I mean, this kind of stemmed from, you know, I told you this morning, like, it's been 4 years since my dad passed away. And
today.
This was the question you came up with. But, like, my grandfather, was basically a second dad. And my dad would even say that. My dad would say that his most influential person was my grandfather that was my mom's dad.
Right.
Not even his dad. And then, of course, my mom and, like, you know, everything that she's done for me and what I've learned from her. It's funny. People that knew both my parents before they had me will look at me and go, yeah, you got them both.
That's
for sure.
And that's the thing now is what's happening in the world. We look for the positives and things that influence us and made us who we are. And there's a lot of those out there. So it's not necessarily a mom or a dad. It could be a neighbor, a teacher, a coach. I mean, we're all fortunate to have those people in our lives at some certain point. You know, like my coach at junior college, I couldn't stand him. But now, my God, I quote him like 5 times a day. I mean, just things that go on. And so it's the old Bible verse, give thanks in everything. So there's people come in your life that you're truly, truly thankful for that lift you up and take you to a different level. And that's something you should never forget.
I'll tell another one that's not a family member. He was our basketball coach at FRA when I was in high school, Glenn Tackett, and I still keep up with him. He knew that I was not very athletic. I was in PE, and he saw me dribble a basketball, so he didn't ask me to come play on the team. But
right.
He wanted me to be the manager, and I kind of fought him on it at first. But I'll never forget the day I had a little fender bender on the way to school and was really bummed out. And, you know, I just was like, you know, he made me feel better. And I just said, okay, you know what, I'll give this a try. And ended up doing that 3 of my 4 years in high school. And it was the best decision I ever made. It helped me, you know, make relationships. And it also kind of helped. I knew I wanted to do something with media, but knew that I wanted to do it with sports because – again, not very athletic, but Coach right. Tackett for sure.
Got you in your way. I like you talk about influential people, you know, disappointing. Like, you know, I never want to disappoint my mom. I remember my first speeding ticket I got on Two Rivers Parkway in front of the wave pool, and I never paid it, right? So I just like, maybe they'll forget about it. My mom one day was like, hey, how's it going? Like, pretty good. She's, anything you need to tell me? I was like, no, I love you. She's like, anything all you need to tell me about your car? I said, no, it's running fine. She's like, you forgot to pay this. You forgot to tell me about it. I'm like, what are you talking about? That wasn't me. It's like, oh, my gosh. I'll never forget. You can't BS your mom. You can't. They know. They know way too. I know your mom's the same way. You just can't. They know us. And I was like, oh, my God. And I vowed, like, oh, I can't do this again.
Okay, so that's probably one of those moments where, like, now my mom would always – get me on stuff like that when I was in the car because I couldn't escape. There was like, I mean, there were thoughts of, do I just jump out and roll on the road?
But, see ya.
But I will never forget. She picked me up and from school, and I wasn't the best student, mainly because I'd get bored and didn't want to apply myself. And I was like, okay, it was progress report day, and I was like, okay, maybe she's not going to – maybe she'll forget. Maybe she won't know. And so she's like, how was your day and all that? And we're just making small talk, and we're like halfway home, and I'm like, oh, I'm good. I've dodged this. She goes, how'd the progress reports go? And I'm like, oh, I think they're fine. We've got a little work to do in English, but, you know, or literature. That's what it was. We'll be fine. I'll be okay. She goes, well, do you have them? And I go, no, they just told us how we were doing. And she goes, yeah, well, Miss Shaq told me when she called me today and told me. I was like, slow down. Let me out.
Oh, she got, cause they just know. But it's also good to see like your mom or your parent in a moment that just makes you laugh. Like, I always go back, again, another high school football story. We played Dixon County in high school. There's probably 10,000 people at the game. We were third in the state. They were fourth. They beat us in the last second. Then they tried to fight us. The fans did. I'll never forget walking to the bus with my mom, and all this talking's going on, and I'll never forget she said, somebody's about to get their ass whooped. And I'll never forget her. It wasn't going to be her, but the cops had to come break it up. But it was kind of cool to see your mom with that little fire in her. It's like, oh, I want part of that to go on. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a parent that positively impacts us. There's so many people in our life that come in our life that do that for us, which is wonderful. So that's kind of the question. And we love hearing from you guys, too, about last week, what's good in your life, and this week, who positively impacted you. I mean, it's just things that go on that make you the person that you are and that we love.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about our Metro Schools Game of the Week, which will be tomorrow night. Of course, it is presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Coming up next, we will talk to the head coach, Anthony Brown at Hillsborough, and Coach C.J. Scott at Glencliff. That matchup is at Glencliff tomorrow. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday, live at Hermitage Golf Course. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Metro Schools Game of the Week, presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Center. And looking forward to that. We'll have the Game Blitz pregame starting at 6, then the pregame for our game at 6:30, kickoff just after 7, and also the Game Blitz scoreboard show following that game, where we'll go all around the mid-state with high school football with Connor Newt and Parker Kelly. Let's say hello now to the head coach of the Hillsboro Burros, Anthony Brown, who is with us. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. So you're a handful of games into the season, coming off a win against Maplewood. How do you feel like your team's been playing to this point?
I feel like we've been trending in the right direction. Defensively, we've been playing pretty well the entire season. Prior to the beginning of the season, I started quarterback towards ACL. So working in a new guy, Jonathan Frederick, he's been coming along, doing a great job of leading our team. We're just trying to get the offense to turn around a little bit right now, but they're working hard.
You've been in some close games too, a couple of close losses, and then last week was a close win. How much does that help a team confidence-wise when you finally get over that hump and win a close game?
Oh, it helps you confidence-wise big time. I think with the work that we've been putting in, it just shows that we're able to be in those close games and then finally pull one of those close games out. So the young men in our football program are excellent. They're working hard, and we just want to keep it going.
Coach, I'd like to talk to whoever put you in the same region with Paige and Nolensville.
Right? I'm fine with it. I've never had a problem with it. You know, I'm the type of individual, we want to play the best, we want to be the best, we want to beat the best. So playing in that region, you know, if you're from the outside looking in, you know, it could have its drawbacks, but we embrace it.
Oh, absolutely. So taking on Glencliff, another Metro team, this could be a nice way for you with a win. If you're fortunate enough, we know how tough it is to get a win for any team. Could be a nice bounce for you as you head to the latter part of the schedule, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just heading into this next part of the schedule. Coach Scott and his staff's doing an excellent job at Glencliff. I'm a Glencliff alum, so, you know, I'm torn. But, you know, just what they're doing over there with their football program, what we're doing here at Hillsboro, I'm just glad that, you know, we're getting some eyes on Metro football.
Oh, man, I love storylines like that. We're talking to Coach Brown at Hillsboro. You're only giving up 10 points a game. What's working on defense?
Man, I'm gonna be honest. It's the film and the study time. My guys are really buying into being a student of the game, and it makes Fridays a lot easier. So if we're able to start forcing some turnovers with just allowing 10 points a game, we really have something special.
Well, Coach, looking forward to doing the game tomorrow night. Best of luck, and we'll see you then.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Let's talk to the homestanding coach. This game will be over at Glencliff. He is the head coach of the Colts. CJ Scott is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Let's start with the turf. I know this is really cool that the Titans have been involved in this and Metro Schools all converting to the turf. I've been to some of the other schools that have gotten theirs. I know you have to be very excited to have that at Glencliff.
Man, yes, it's a great opportunity finally to have a home game. Last couple of weeks we've been playing away, so a great opportunity to come home, play against my fellow teammate, Anthony Brown. I got another offensive coordinator, C.J. Johns, is on there. So playing against one of your fellow teammates as childhood friend is a good opportunity.
Now, how much time have you gotten to spend on the turf practice-wise, or will this be the first time?
So actually, I got cleared yesterday.
Okay.
So yesterday was an exciting day, just able to be at home and do stuff on the game field that you haven't been able to do. So it's a good opportunity just to finally be at home to play a home game in front of our home fans.
I always like asking coaches this that have played a lot of road games, as you mentioned. Do you feel like your team is battle-tested a few games into the season after playing in some tough environments on the road?
Man, yes, sir. I think good passes gave us a good hand whooping, you know. Then we didn't play Cheatham County in our second game, and we played Fairview. So like, we're just trying to put a full game together where we play more than one half. Like Fairview, we played a good the second half. Cheatham County played good the first half. So we're just trying to put a game together.
Is it going to be weird about 4:30 on Friday when you're like, all right, let's get on the bus. Oh, wait, we got a home game.
Yes, yeah, so it's going to be real different. You know, just we can settle in a little bit. One of the things that we dealt with was when we did it with Metro School is when the bus got to pick you up at 5:30. So by the time you travel outside county schools, it's just you only get like 20 minutes to 20 to 30 minutes to warm up.
Oh, my goodness. I hate that for you, Coach. We're talking to C.J. Scott at Glencliff. I know it doesn't matter to kids today, but it matters to me and it matters to you. Glencliff has a rich history in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Heck, they went to the state championship in 1999 and got out there. My good friend Greg Abner was a coach over there. So there's a lot of pride there. And I know the season's not going like you want to, Coach, but you still got pride, don't we?
Well, actually, me and Brown and other C.J. Jones was part of the 99 team. So me coming back here gives me a good opportunity to try to relive the history and try to build a program back up like it used to be. So I know it's going to take a little time. I know it's going to take a long time for kids to buy in. But, you know, Brown was one of the reasons I came back to side of coaching. And so, like, me having a friend like that give me the opportunity and just a little information was a blessing from him. So this is one of the reasons why I came back to coach.
Oh, I love that. Do you have any good Coach Abner stories for me that you could tell on the air?
No, I can't tell on the air, but Coach Abner always been one of those guys that show a lot of respect and lead us the right way. So Abner always a good guy in my book, no matter what. Him, Coach Mafell, Coach Schick, it's a lot of them. I can't name all of them at once, but it's a lot of them.
You also got to play with an NFL veteran, a guy named Tim Dobbins, one of the best players I've ever seen in high school. How good was Tim Dobbins, Coach?
Well, being a kid, I was 6'2". His sophomore year was exciting to play with. And, you know, with our senior class, it kind of made it kind of easy for him. But, you know, I always wish the best for Tim Dobbins.
I love it, Coach. That's good. Good stuff.
Coach, with this being the first home game of the year, what do you want from your fans tomorrow night? Because I think that stadium needs to be rocking.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Playing Hillsborough in a battle of the south side of Nashville, Tennessee is a great opportunity going against my teammate. I want the fans to come out and support. It's our homecoming. We got class of 95, class reunion. It's just a lot of stuff that's going on. Field dedication, the mayor supposed to come, Dr. Bell supposed to be here. So just an opportunity for everybody to come back and live the glory like we used to.
Well, we're looking forward to being there and broadcasting the game. Thanks so much for doing this today, and good luck tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. May God bless you.
Absolutely. Coach C.J. Scott from Glencliff joining us here on the program. And again, tomorrow, all our high school football coverage will begin at 6 o'clock with the Game Blitz. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, and we'll have pregame coverage from Glencliff starting at 6:30 as they get ready to take on Hillsborough. We'll have more coming out here from Hermitage Golf Course. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Off we go.
Hail to the bus driver, bus driver, bus driver. Hail to the bus driver, man. He drinks and he cusses, he stinks up the buses. Hail to the bus driver, man.
Oh, there's an opening. Nope, too late. Nope. I'll be cutting a little close.
I think you have to be more aggressive, sir.
Nonsense. One of our good citizens will slow down and wave me in. Let me in. Let me in.
He steps on the clutch and the toilet goes flush. Hail to the...
Shut up!
Oh, man.
Well done, Dr. Curry.
Oh, that's good.
Principal Skinner as the bus driver.
You know what's funny is that Harry Shearer's member of Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah.
So there's this commercial for Liquid Death, the water, and they're all – Rob Reiner's like, hey, you're going to do a promotion for Liquid Death. They're like, oh, it's a beer. And like, no, it's water. And Harry Shearer's talking, and it sounds just like the Principal Chalmers. It sounds –
Principal Skinner.
Principal Skinner, I'm sorry, yeah. Superintendent Chalmers.
Yeah.
Principal Skinner, it sounds just like him, and I can't get that out of my mind of all the voices that Harry Shearer did. Really good.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you know, like you hear enough, you kind of knew who did what.
Yeah.
The Predators open training camp today. They've had their first practices. I've been reading some of the notes. I guess Roman Josi spoke, and I know our friend Jill Jelnick had a one-on-one with him that you can see on Fox 17 News at 9 tonight. But he seems to be healthy, feeling good going into the season, and Barry Trotz had his opening remarks as well. And he had the line that everybody's been talking about, and I certainly laughed at, and that was it was on Twitter. He said, "We proved the experts wrong 2 years in a row, and we're hoping to make it three." So I appreciate that sense of humor that he had, because there were so many expectations last year. But did say that he has no intention to trade Luke Evangelista, even though they have not been able to reach an agreement on a new contract yet. And Luke Evangelista is not at training camp right now until they get a deal done. I would expect they're going to get something done. I mean, my thing on this is I like Luke. I think he's a good player. I think he fits this young core, but I don't think he has a ton of leverage. And I think that, you know, look, agents are going to do what's best for their client, because it's also what's best for them as they get a piece of that pie. But Barry Trotz is going to hold his ground and do what's best for the Predators as well, because, you know, you don't want to overpay a young player. So whether it's a three-year deal or, you know, Evangelista bets on himself and takes a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it deal, gap deal kind of thing, then, you know, he certainly could do that. But he's a restricted free agent. Predators still retain his rights. My guess is in the next few days they'll get something done, because eventually, you know, a side's going to have to give, and it's probably going to be Evangelista's side, and come up with something that's fair, but, you know, fair for both sides.
I don't mind guys on 1 year deal to prove that they belong, because you know what happens? They play their ass off.
Right.
We see it in every sport they go, especially football, to do that. All right, what's the line? What's the opening line? Stamkos.
Look at you. I was like, I don't have the betting lines up. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like, is there one out there? What? Already? Who comes out on October the 9th?
That is a great question. I think the big question is, it probably going to be, you know, Forsberg, O'Reilly, that group, you know, again. But I think everybody's wondering, does Brady Martin make this roster?
I say no.
I don't know. Probably not.
Don't do it.
But I'm not. But, probably yeah, not. I mean, look, they have a mix of young guys and veterans. You know, Marchessault, I think, needs a bounce-back year. Forsberg, well, really everybody needs a bounce-back year. Forsberg as well. But I'm curious to see Brady Martin play with those guys, because I think you're going to see that some in training camp. I mean, it's hard to believe. They play their first two preseason games Sunday with a doubleheader against the Florida Panthers. So you're going up against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion.
Right.
In a doubleheader, a split squad doubleheader. You know, I want to see Brady Martin skating with these veteran players to see how he holds up.
So, like, Stamkos and Josi are playing Sunday?
We don't have the rosters yet, but, I mean, I would assume so.
All right, that's already here. I just think the burning desire of any athlete is to not go out the way they did and to turn it around. And I think that's great. I mean, you got talent. Now put it together and do it. And now, you know, I think Brunette's got a little leverage now for a little bit to kind of like, all right, let's see what we can do. Don't go out of the gate 0-8. We know how that's going to end. But start fast.
I mean, if they start 0-5 again, they're going to have a new coach.
What's the great point is, you don't make the Stanley Cup in October.
But you can lose it.
But you sure as hell can lose it.
Yeah. You know, some notes that came out of practice today and conversations that I've seen on Twitter is that, you know, Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette spent a lot of time this summer talking, and that Brunette has been changing his system some. Some of the players have talked about that the system has definitely adjusted, which I think needed to happen because, you know, what they were doing wasn't working.
Right.
And, you know, this is where a lot of pressure goes on Barry Trotz, because he ultimately made the decision to stick with Brunette because he thought he was, as he said, a good young coach and someone that would be able to fix the issues that they had last year and be able to, you know, change and adapt. And if it seems like that's what we're being told. We obviously have to see it. But if this team comes out, you know, and really the first 2 years of Brunette, you know, even the year before last, they rebounded and still made the playoffs, but they came out flat. And, you know, last year, a lot of people commented on how flat training camp was. We're going to be there tomorrow, so I'm going to get there early to watch practice and look forward to kind of seeing that. But I mean, they really need to come out swinging early in the season. And you know, I'm not, again, you can't win the Stanley Cup in October, but I want to see them come out with some jump and win some games early and show me, okay, this team has improved.
So 3 weeks from tonight, right? Opening on October 9th?
Yeah.
Do they open that Tuesday on the road?
No, the home opener is the opener.
Okay, that's the first game.
Yep.
Good. I mean, so that's the thing. Is like they got some really good athletes. Start out hot and see what you could do. And it can happen. I mean, they were playing catch-up after five games last
right.
year.
And they just never could catch up.
Because it's a pretty damn good division as well as they go forward. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, look, we've talked all the time. Winning is so good. I mean, that Bridgestone Arena, when they're okay, it's still a fun environment. When they're rolling, for you that moved here and missed the playoff atmosphere at Bridgestone, I hope we get back there. Because I've never experienced anything like that in my life, the atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena when this Preds team's good.
One thing I am curious of, and you know, I would actually love to ask Barry this question. He's always kind of been of the belief of, you know, if he overcooks a guy in the minors, like he's okay with that because he wants to make sure they're absolutely ready when they come to the NHL. And so if you look at this roster, you know, there are a handful of veterans, and then there are some younger guys that, like Joachim Kimmel is a prime example, that have maybe gotten a cup of coffee at the NHL level, but they've pretty much been at the American League level for several years now. And I want to see some of those young guys take a spot from a vet. Like, nothing against Eric Halla, who they traded for, who's coming back. You know, I want to see him maybe get pushed down a line because a young guy outplays him and takes a spot. I mean, that is what I'm hoping out of this training camp, because it's time to see a Joachim Kimmel, a Zach LaRue, who's been with the big club, to take another step. You know, Luke Evangelista, when he gets back in there, I think he's got another level that he's got to get to, in addition to what a Marchessault, a Forsberg, those guys can do. But these young guys, it's their time. Reed Schaefer, we've been hearing about Reed Schaefer for the last 3 years since they acquired him in the Matthias Ekholm trade. I'm ready to see what he can do at the NHL level. He needs to earn a spot. And so that's really what I'm looking for. You know, can Fedor Svechkov take a step forward as a young player? I want to see these young guys maybe take somebody's job.
Who did Barry sign that's been here before that's back now? Is that Halla?
Eric Halla. Okay. Yeah, it was a trade.
Yeah, is he what they call a goon?
No, he's not a goon, but he's like a third, fourth line guy. He's a good player. I mean, he's, you know.
Is he guy that's going to bring you to the wall, man?
He's got a little – I mean, I kind of think everybody has to do that a little bit these days.
I like it. I'm excited. It's fun. Like, I'm not any sort of a hockey expert. I'm a hockey fan, and I love the Preds. I mean, that's the way I am. So I like the fact that I come at it from a completely different perspective than you guys do.
Yeah.
Y'all know far more than I do. I'm just a fan. Before we go, Dr. Crane?
Yes, sir.
I need to play a game with you real quick, all right? European leaders or Preds prospects?
Okay.
All right. Michael Martin, European leader or Preds prospect? Michael Martin.
Preds prospect.
He is the Prime Minister of Ireland. You did not get it. Too bad. Victor Norringer, Preds prospect or European leader?
European leader.
Oh, he's a Preds prospect. You're 0 for 2. Come on, buddy. Victor Orbane. Preds prospect or European leader?
European leader.
Ah, you got one. Yeah, he's the Prime Minister of Hungary. Good job. We'll play that game another day. Proud of you.
I'll give you one more. Jack Mateer.
Is he related to John Mateer?
No.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to go
say his
with
name again.
Jack Mateer.
I'm going to go with a Preds prospect.
Jack Mateer sounds like he would be the president of the prime minister of like Norway,
Greenland.
He is a predator.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
He's a defenseman.
All right. Jack Mateer is my new guy. All right, Jack, show me some good stuff.
We will see. We will see them tomorrow at Preds training camp. So looking forward to that. We'll come back with more coming up next from Hermitage Golf Course. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.